ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode explores, expands, and evolves the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity, joy, and exponential growth. And now, here is your host, Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Adventures in Truth livecast. My name is Jim Case, and I am your host today. Thank you all for being here. Today, I am super excited to have back on the show Paul Diamond, live from Peru. Paul has an amazing center in PSOC down in Peru called Tantraya. And he does amazing work down there, getting ready for another class this weekend, I believe. He'll get to talk about that in a little bit. But before we begin, I'm going to take a minute to everything coming together so amazingly about my book. I'm so excited. Here's another copy. Look, I'm very excited about this. And September 29th is our release date, if I haven't gotten to talk about that. But Fear is a Choice. Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love. This book is really about changing your relationship with fear. And I know that reading this book can change your life because it will change your relationship with fear. www.adventuresintruth.com is where you can find links to the book. Excuse me while I do my thing here. Pre-orders are open now. The book is releasing the 29th, so all those pre-orders will go out at the end of September. I'm so excited about. I want to take a couple minutes. Usually I do a little bit of live reading, and I'm going to do that today. But today I'm going to focus on, I've gotten three reviews for pre-relaunch reviews, and I wanted to share those with you a little bit because, to be perfectly honest with you, I'm ridiculously excited about the feedback. You know, when you carry a vision and you want that to come to fruition and you know, your energy is moving there and everything is happening. And then when you start to get feedback that aligns with the vision, it's a breathtaking, wonderful, fulfilling, satisfying, deeply satisfying experience. So I want to share these with you because they really have impact. And I think they really focus the way the book has impact. And that's really what that sharing is about. So bear with me here for a sec. I want to share the first one with you from Moshe in California. It says, absolutely transformational. You will be in shock and awe as you smile and sigh your way through this incredible gift of a book. Profound, challenging, or compelling, and absolutely transformational. Read this now to eliminate negative beliefs, release fear, and reclaim a life filled with joy. Finally, a book that takes on the F word with courage and compassion. Through story after story, this book reveals its deep truth. Fear is always, always a choice over which we have complete control. Jim is an energy master who shows us another way, a better way to be, do, and have in this amazing life. Read this, sit with the ideas, and learn how to know your inner truth, align with the God within, and no longer be limited or debilitated by fear. Take the leap to live a high vibrational life filled with deep connection and unending joy. That's pretty amazing. That feels really good. Second one from Tamar in South Carolina. All too often in life, when the world seems to be crashing down around us, it's not the megaton cruise ship that saves us from drowning, but rather it's a little life preserver tossed in from a tiny sailboat captained by one person. Sometimes when our days are the darkest, we are drawn out of the depths by a single flame and not a blinding light. This book, in what seems to be simple premise, offers that one idea, that one absolutely brilliant, spot-on, bullseye target that successfully changes our life's trajectory into a path of infinite love and joy. As a survivor of numerous traumas in my life, from emotional to medical to financial, I assure you that reading this book and incorporating its teachings into your life will make the difference that changes your life in ways you cannot yet imagine. When you can take life's happenings and, like the best martial arts expert, use their own momentum to our advantage, then everything that previously had been negative turns into incredible positive. This book will open your eyes into clearly understanding how you take your life from surviving to thriving. You owe it to yourself and those around you to be and live your best. That was number two, and thank you for that. And last comes from Fiona in New Zealand. And she writes, "Ever wonder why some people are terrified of mice? It's really a necessary protective instinct to fear. Is it really a necessary protective instinct to fear a cute furry being 1/100th of your size? Fear is a Choice explains the step-by-step process of how we learn to fear. That, in fact, fear is not strictly an instinctive response, but rather it is taught to us by parents, peers, and society at large. This means we can unlearn it. This book is for anyone whose fear of whatever has come insidiously to dominate your choices and behaviors in life. Fear is a Choice integrates the physical and spiritual aspects of the human experience in a practical, everyday way that anyone can appreciate, whether a newcomer to spiritual concepts or not. The author is very qualified to speak on the subject, choosing to embark on a journey of transforming every aspect of his life when he began to recognize how his learned fears were not the root of his physical and emotional pain, and causing him to be stuck in a life that simply did not sit right. The teachings of most spiritual significance to me in this book was the amazing tool we all have to continual access to, which we can learn to use quite easily. No batteries or accessories required. The author explains beautifully that by following the ease, no matter how loudly or fearfully the mind protests, this pathway is the road to being who you really are. Taking you from a place of retreat, defeat, and misguided action to a place of courage and purpose. Every time you honor this system, your clarity will become stronger and your stress levels will reduce dramatically, and you will arrive at a better, more effective answers, solutions, and abilities with greater ease and tranquility. When you come into alignment, life becomes about ease and flow, not struggle. Even better, once you're in alignment, you're no longer able to be manipulated with or by fear." And I believe that last part was her quoting the book. Again, thank you all for those wonderful words, for that incredible support. This is a powerful book, guys, and I hope you can take the opportunity to enjoy it. And www.adventuresintruth.com. And step out and grab yourself a copy. So thank you. We'll be right back after this break, and I'm going to bring Paul in to say hi, and here we go. And we are back. Hi, Paul Diamond. How are you?
Hi, Jim. Yep. Okay. Thank you.
Good to see you. Paul is coming to us from Peru. They were having some electrical issues up until a few minutes ago. So very grateful and thankful that you made it and that there's electric and you're here. So I am looking forward to our conversation today. I keep trying to look at things without glasses and I can't see them and I don't understand why. Craziness. So today we're going to talk about the reality of magic. And this is a really cool topic to me because I know there are a lot of people that kind of poo-poo the idea of magic or poo-poo the idea of that it's kind of an overly spiritualized idea or that it's somehow not what it is. In my own personal experience, the magic is what you live for. The magic is what it's about, because it's about that connection. It's about that alignment. It's about how you line yourself up so that you are a receptor of the amazing opportunities and possibilities that exist in the universe for you to create whatever it is you desire. And how amazing is it that we have the ability within us, by getting out of our own way, to create magic every day of our lives. And I don't mean magic in the sense of, wasn't that a nice coincidence? I mean stuff that shows up that you go, how is it possible that I met that person in that way on that day? How is it possible that I thought I was going to be broke and out of the sky fell a check that enabled me to pay my bills? I have no idea where that came from. But because I was, you know, because you're able to get into that alignment and get into that space of connection, it opens up a world of possibility that you may not even know really exists. And that's why I'm excited to have Paul here, because he's going to share with us his version, his view of magic, and we're going to take a deep dive into this topic, and you're going to be blown away. So let's have at it. There you go, Paul. A big old plate for you.
So yeah.
Tell me how do you see? Well, first, again, welcome back, Paul. If you guys don't know, Paul is an ayahuascaro and shaman in Peru, has a center called Tantraya. I would love for you to talk about, because you're going to be doing a class or a seminar here on Saturday, right? Is that this tomorrow?
Not this week. No, October 3rd, I believe.
October 3rd, fantastic. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. We're definitely moving the work that we do here at Tantraya in the direction of Western magic and the Western magical path, and kind of just reminding us that we have a spiritual practice of our own, you know, that we don't have to rely only upon the Eastern traditions. I personally have been very involved in the Eastern traditions for a very long time. We also don't have to be involved within the shamanic traditions, although I also have also been involving myself in the shamanic traditions for a very long time. But I think it's good for us as Westerns to be reminded that actually we have our own thing. And we've kind of forgotten what that is. You know, we've heard of yoga, we've heard of tantra, you know, and all these other kind of Eastern terms, but they're systems of attainment of liberation or enlightenment or however you want to think about it. Mm-hmm. We don't have one, we believe, in our minds. You know, it's been very suppressed or oppressed by the Judeo-Christian worldview. Paganism was kind of stamped out, and most people really have forgotten that there is any such thing as a Western path to freedom. And yeah, that actually good. It is as magic, you know, that's one of its names. So that's one way that I want to talk about magic. I don't just want to talk about it in the sort of very kind of nebulous way that you introduced it. I also want to talk about it in a quite a rigid and structural kind of way as well, just to remind us of that process, if I might.
Cool. Love it. All right. Well, before we get started, that's a great intro to get everybody excited. We're going to start with a moment to focus. I like to take a couple minutes at the beginning of the show to just bring our awareness to bring consciousness to our bodies and to our breath, and to just get present in this moment. That if you're going to participate, if you want to be a part of this show, to just get present with us and kind of connect your energy to this experience, because there's a lot of good things going on here. So let's take a moment to do that. Paul, we'll be right back. So I want to have everybody, if you guys would, just take a moment wherever you are, get comfortable. If you can, let your eyes rest. Eyes closed is best, or at least unfocused is good. And just take a big, deep breath and let it all out. And bring your awareness to your body. I want you to focus your awareness inside of your body. Now, you may not necessarily know what that feels like or looks like. That's okay. Just let your awareness go inside your body. And as you do, let your awareness start at the bottom, maybe at your feet, and just let that awareness from the inside, moving up through the body, become aware of how your body feels in every juncture, in every section, as you move through your feet and ankles and up through the lower legs and the knees and the thighs and in through the hips. How are those parts of your body feeling on the inside? And just continue to bring that awareness up through the torso and the shoulders. How is the neck and the top of the shoulders? How's the space in the shoulder blades? How do your arms feel? How do your hands feel? How does your head and neck feel? Gently moving around, gently getting settled, and just focusing awareness in you. Becoming aware of how you feel, what you're feeling this moment, what you're experiencing this moment. And we're going to take that and we're going to focus that awareness into your breath now. I want you to become aware of your breathing. How are you breathing? Just notice how the breath moves in your body. Notice how when you inhale, how does your chest respond? Do you get much movement? Does it feel like it's expanding or does it feel like it's lifting? How does it feel when you breathe? And for this next section, we're just going to take a moment to be with the breath. We're going to use the breath to help create that focus and state shift. Breath is the foundation of our experience. Breath is the thing we do the most all the time. So focusing in breath and being conscious of breath helps to establish a foundation of wellness when used properly. So what we're going to do as you focus on your breath is we're going to begin to breathe in a pattern. We're going to inhale to a count of four. At the top of that breath, we're going to rest just for a moment in fullness. And then you're going to release from the mouth, pushing all of that air out. And you're going to release to a count of six, pushing all of that air out. And the reason we do more on the exhale than the inhale is to purge all of that old breath and energy, all that stale energy down in the lungs, moving it up and out so that you can fill with a new flow of energy and life force. And then when you reach the bottom, when you reach that emptiness, I want you to take a moment there and relax into that void, relax into that emptiness. And then you're going to re-engage and again, breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth, you'll inhale. So focusing all that awareness now into the breath, we're going to begin with an inhale, two, three, four. At the top, we're resting, relaxing, and now we're exhaling from the mouth. Two, three, four, five, six, and rest in the emptiness. And now engage the breath and inhaling. Two, three, four, and at the top, relax and release from the mouth. Two, three, four, five, six. Consciously relaxing at the bottom, fully empty. Open and engage the lungs, inhaling through the nose. Two, three, four. At the top, relaxing full and releasing from the mouth. Two, three, four, five, six. As we rest and relax into that emptiness, and we open and inhale again, two, three, four, relax and release, two, three, four, five, six, as you rest into the emptiness, rest into the void. Allow the breath process to continue, staying in that rhythm on your own, managing that breath, inhaling, taking it to the top, releasing it, bringing it back down to the bottom. Continuing to experience the breath from the inside perspective, keeping awareness inside the body as you're breathing, feeling that, feeling it and seeing the energy moving. Continuing the rhythm. And as you continue to breathe, I want you to take in these words. Just let them flow through you. They'll flow through, flow out. Just be with these words as you're breathing. I am the evolution of God realized as matter. I inform and guide that expression as the pure expression of God. I show up as God. I connect as God. I align as God. I am creation realized, and from that, I create, expand, and engage. I am. Excellent. Just feeling that breath moving through you. Great job. Bring your awareness now. Let the awareness expand inside your body, bringing that awareness outside again, bringing it to encompass all that's going on, getting conscious of this moment here and now as we engage in the show, and getting ready to hear some amazing things from Paul about magic. Here we go. Welcome back. Welcome back. All right, my friend. So do we want to start at what is magic? Where do we want to start with this conversation today?
You know, people have been looking for that definition for a very long time and have come up with a lot of different ideas about what they think it is. And, you know, maybe some of them are more akin to its actuality and some are further away, but I don't actually think anyone's actually come up with a very good or very succinct, at least, definition of what that thing is, you know, and I think that's okay. You know, I think it's, when we're talking about magic, of course, we are talking about mystery. We're talking about, you know, the unknown, the mythical, the mysterious, the hidden, the occult. So the fact that we can't necessarily define it is maybe a good thing. You know, maybe it needs to remain undefined in that the Tao that can be spoken of will never be the true Tao. Maybe the magic that can be defined will never be the true magic. You know, it lies behind the verbosity that we can bring to the subject, I suspect. But we're talking about, you know, a range of qualities, we're talking about a range of conditions, we're talking about a range of skills that can be trained and worked, and, you know, ultimately we're talking about a relationship, that relationship being one of the physical universe with other dimensions, other spirits, you know, that kind of hidden side of nature.
So do you think that the question that comes to mind for me based on what you were saying is it the definition challenged because the experience of magic to every individual is different? Meaning
That's part of it. But, you know, I think that it's something that doesn't want to be put into a box. You know, you can talk about it being the art, you know, the art and science of causing changes to conform, you know, to consciousness or in consciousness, conformity with will, things of this nature. But I like to have a broader perspective on it. I mean, it's anything that is acausal. It's anything that we can't necessarily bring about some kind of causal framework for. It's something that relies on a system of relationship with a hidden order of things, you know, whether that be the hidden order of nature itself or the hidden nature of language, the hidden language of nature, or that may be something more mysterious that lies behind, you know, the physical appearance, at least, you know, be the world of spirits and spiritual beings, you know, pantheons and gods, deities and devils and, you know, this kind of thing.
So Would you say, I'm thinking about, as you mentioned, paganism, really the, at least in my mind, and I don't have a huge background, but it seems to me that paganism is really, would you say that was the origin of magic, in that it was deeply connected to the fairies and into the fairy kingdom and the plant kingdom and the mineral kingdoms and fire and all that good stuff?
We cannot trace the origins of magic. It goes back too far. I think our own history is occulted, and we have forgotten where we're from and how old we are as a species. Mm. And, you know, by any good magician's hint, it goes back at least 125,000 years to Atlantis, to Lemuria, to these other kingdoms. But you know, the power lies beyond that, I feel. You know, we're talking about the powers of nature, the powers of the planets, the power of the sun, the powers that live within the earth. And we're talking about this sort of ability for human beings to communicate with otherworldly or other dimensional beings and gain knowledge and wisdom and power from them. And it's also talking about a system of evolution within the human system. It's talking about a system of the evolution of consciousness, in fact, in the same way that Patanjali's Eastern system of yoga talks about a system of consciousness change. The methods are different. The Eastern methods tend towards negation. They tend towards, you know, bringing consciousness to one-pointed focus, samadhi-type focus. Not always easy for Easterners or Westerners, in fact, is the truth of it, but, you know, that's their way. Western way happens to be through, well, it's through many streams, but through Kabbalah, through alchemy, through ritual, through engagement with God forms.
What was the first thing you said?
Kabbalah.
I'm not familiar. What is that?
Gosh, that's a very big question. What is Kabbalah? Kabbalah is many things to many people. Essentially, one can say that is a map of the universe. It's a map of the macroverse, and it's a map of the psyche of mankind, or the microcosm of mankind. One can say that it is a map of the mind of God. And one can say it's a kind of a cosmological map also, in that it includes planets and things of that nature. It works somewhat like a filing system, so that you can organize your interior reality into sensible spheres of activity. You know, everything that you think about, all of your metaphors, all your mythological beings, all your numerology, all your tarot correspondences, all of your crystals or herbs or plants or trees, really anything across the whole spectrum of nature can be placed within somewhere on the tree of life, which is the essential Kabbalistic glyph. And utilizing that system of correspondence, one is able to make contact with other dimensions, in the same way that one can through shamanism, through entheogens, through psychedelics. One can make contact with spirits, and one can make contact with dimensions of consciousness and being that lie beyond our own.
Okay. So how you were equating that to the Western magic? Can you tell me why? Maybe I need clarification on how you differentiate Eastern and Western.
Well, it's come down to us, or it's kind of come sort of to be known to us as hermeticism, really, sort of hermetic style magic. That's a little bit of a misnomer, really, because there is magic that is pre-hermetic. There is magic that is sort of hermetic, one can say. It's all a bit of an amalgamation. we can say that these streams go back at least to Egypt. Egypt was, of course, obsessed by magic. It worked with a massive pantheon of gods, and it had principles and practices for making contact with those gods in a real way, internally, externally, however you want to think about it, in a way where the gods were actually present in people's lives and were informative in people's lives. And that magic was, you know, partly folk magic, partly, you know, with the people, and partly with the priesthood, often with the priesthood. And of course, you know, that turned really into monotheism as Moses or whatever, you know, moves out of Egypt. It turns into, actually, Egypt by that time was ruled by Akhenaten. Akhenaten rules Upper and Lower Egypt, brings them together and forms the world's first really monotheistic tradition. Before Akhenaten and his crew, it wasn't really a monotheistic idea in the world. You know, people believed in pantheons of gods, pantheons of spirits. The world was polytheistic, pantheistic, animistic, alive. And then these guys came along and kind of said, look, no, you're wrong. There's only one God. And don't disagree with us because we've got swords and we'll use them. And they did. And so most people began to believe in only one God. And they tended to forget that there was anything else. But there were secret traditions that kept alive the knowledge that humanity has always been in contact with ultra, intra, and extra dimensional beings since day one. And that's never going to stop, no matter how much you try and oppress the people. So, mm-hmm. You know, the knowledge comes from and through Atlantis and Luria, if you want to go for that kind of thing, you know, at least Göbekli Tepe, which is a real physical place, you know, at least 13,000 years old, buried under the sand so that we can carbon date it as 13,000 years old. And it's a temple. So they were very, very clearly involved with religious practice, magical practice way back then. And you've got to remember that actually Göbekli Tepe is pre-agriculture. It's pre-agriculture and pre-warfare. So the first thing we were really doing, and I say personally as a magician, as a shaman, this goes way, way back before then. But let's say Göbekli Tepe around 13,500 years ago, you know, around the end of the Lesser Dryad period, at the end of the Last Ice Age, we were deeply mystical. Our interest was in building temples and great Stonehenges, and, you know, warfare and agriculture kind of came later, but that was our primary interest. And it's never gone away. It never will go away. So the traditions really have been passed down to us ultimately by otherworldly beings. You know, in the Egyptian tradition, these traditions were passed down by Thoth, by Hermes, by Mercury in the Greek tradition. Actually, Hermes in the Greek tradition. And, you know, they're all about stealing fire from the gods. You know, Prometheus came to teach mankind magic. And of course, it was against the gods' wishes that mankind should learn that. So we have to begin to wonder where liberation and who the liberator is. And, you know, we get into very deep ethical and confusing questions that we're not really going to get into tonight. But
so as you're talking, there seems to be a sense of almost like there's a current of energy, a current that, but it seems to be filled with the history that you're speaking of, but it's a current that seems like that's what you want to tap into when you're, if you're wanting to stimulate magic, if you're wanting to activate magic, that there is this kind of current or field that's available to kind of merge with, or to, is that how you experience it, or is it something different?
It's a brilliant word to use. It's the correct word to use when talking about magic. Unfortunately, it's not as simple in the sense there isn't just one current of magic. think about it more like remember the old wars between Tesla and you know, his electrical rivals. And, you know, there's electricity out there and there are different ways to tap it. And some of you want to charge for tapping it and some of you want to give it for free. And, you know, it's a little bit like that. Magic is a power. It's a power that has always existed and flows through different forms and different energies and in different ways. And magicians themselves do things with that power, let's say, and then what they do with it and how they utilize it and what they're accessing when they plug in. You know, there's lots of currents of power when it comes to magic, some positive currents of power, some not so positive currents of power, I'm afraid. Just like electricity. Electricity can be used to, you know, turn your household lights on, can be used to electrocute people. Magic is similar. It's about intent in the end, but it is about power. You know, we've all become really afraid of power because we've misused it or have had it misused at some point in the past. So we've become afraid of it. And now is the time really to reclaim our power, knowing hopefully that we're mature enough now to use that with maturity and with ethics and with morality.
Fantastic. So we're going to take a quick break. I want to, this may be, this question may be an oxymoron and we'll find out on the other side of the break. But I want to talk about how magic is created. And so we're talking about streams and anyway, so we'll get into that on the other side of the break, but I'm interested to see where that part of the conversation goes. So we'll be right back. We are back and having an amazing conversation, talking about sort of the origins of magic and magic in our culture. And I'm interested to at some point as we get into this conversation to kind of how to connect people to magic, and maybe we'll get there. But I'm curious if there is an answer to the question, how is magic created? Because before the break, we were talking about kind of tapping into these streams, these energy streams. And so, two thoughts about that. One is, we're talking about like plants and minerals and the different aspects where magic is available. When you want to access magic, is it important to focus on the elemental aspect of what you're trying to do, meaning you're going to focus your awareness into the fairy kingdom, maybe, to tap into that experience. So is it what am I trying to say? I guess is it soul or is it a, when you tap into magic, it's specific to, not magic as a whole. Is that legitimate?
Gosh, but there's a lot in there, you know. Let's go back to the beginning and talk about how is magic created. Okay. I mean, really, ultimately, how were you created, Jim?
Magic.
You know, so, you know, can we not really say, either, well, we don't know, or I can give you a really deep scientific explanation of sperm and ova and all that kind of business, or we can genuinely just go ahead right now and admit it's magic. We pulled, or not me personally, somebody pulled your essence, your being, your soul, if you want, from whatever dimension you existed in or did not exist in, and brought you forth into three-dimensional reality to write books and run podcasts. Yeah. Now, can we not really just go ahead and just go right now and just say, that's magic? Because we don't know. That in itself is really a miracle. We give it a great scientific explanation and we great science and talking the language of, in the end, we have to say, it's all magic. We don't know how come we are just so exactly placed next to the sun that we don't fry and we don't boil. And we can't say how come it's just enough oxygen in the air to keep us alive and not kill us every time we breathe. We can't really say what makes us breathe or what thought or consciousness is. So in the end, I think we're better off, it's simpler to say the whole thing's magic. Everything about creation, the universe, your experience of it, perception, is all magic. It's all somehow happening in a very strange dimension, which doesn't seem to happen anywhere else. You don't seem to have podcasts on Mars necessarily, although Mars is in our sphere of reality. But Earth and 3D and all of that, we've got to admit, is pretty fucking special. And we may as well just go right ahead and say it's so special. It is by in it and in and of itself, pure magic. Every time anything happens, we just become so blasé and bored and jaded that we forget it's a miracle every time the sun comes up or the stars come out at night or we're still here the next day. Or any of these things, never mind getting into conjuring spirits and divination and alchemy, and never mind intuition. All of that. Yeah, never mind it. The very basis and foundation of our reality is based on something extraordinary, which we haven't really thought about or looked at, and maybe we should.
Interestingly enough, that leads me to then, so is what you're saying, no, actually, I'm putting words in your mouth. So what I'm thinking is science was developed as a way for man to understand magic. And what we've discovered is that
it's a nice way to say it. You know, you'd never catch a scientist saying it, but of course, where does science come from? It comes from alchemy. Alchemy led to chemistry. It led directly to chemistry. What were the alchemists doing? They were trying to understand the secrets of the universe. Really, what are chemists trying to do? To understand the secrets of the universe. But you wouldn't catch one saying it now because they wouldn't get their funding or their peer-reviewed status. You know, you've got to be careful what you say these days. But hopefully you've got some scientists who still have that Isaac Newton view of reality, which was entirely magical. You know, it was only up until the 16th, 17th century that it began to change. Before that time, everybody thought about the world in a magical way. Now, I'm not saying we should go back to a magical way of thinking that is pre-logical or pre-rational or pre-scientific. No, we want to advance both. We've been there. we've been there, now let's bring it all together and really advance our species. We don't want to go backwards, but neither do we want to forget that actually those guys knew something. The alchemists, the internal alchemists knew extraordinary things about the inner nature of a person, its channels, its flows, and its chakras, and its energies, its powers, etc. The external alchemists found out very extraordinary things about nature and what we could do to quicken its processes and to bring about, you know, strange effects that maybe wouldn't take place for a long, long time, including and especially in changes in consciousness, changes in personal energy and initiatory power or ability, for example, through the ingestion of certain medicines made of mercury and safer substances. Don't drink mercury, kids.
It's not good for you. So in history, I'm curious, is there a correlation between the evolution of science and the monotheistic stuff? Are they relatively about the same, or are they very far apart from one another?
They're quite far apart, of course. Really, science, actually, one can say almost was a revolution against the church. You know, you've got to remember the church had a iron hold on the Western and a lot more mind for 2,000 years. That's a very, very long time to ingratiate your ideas and whatever you like into people. That they're going to still believe at a very, very deep level for a very, very long time, even after they've stopped really believing in it at a logical, rational level. It's still going to kind of be there underneath. No, and then, of course, you had the Enlightenment and, you know, rational.
Oh, no. Looks like Paul has frozen for a second here. We'll give it a second, see if he can get back with us. They were having some electrical issues in Peru, and the electric went out, and so the Wi-Fi is probably being affected.
But the truth is, it never really went away. It was already, it was all still there because magic is
real. Hang on a second. You have to go back because your last 2 minutes were frozen. So we heard nothing of what you said in the last 2 minutes or last 1 minute.
Hear it again.
But go ahead, carry on then, carry on.
Yeah, I was really just saying that, you know, actually the stranglehold that the church had, as it began to fall away, people began to turn towards what they thought was rationalism and science, but it included an awful lot of the things that the church had done its best to try and ban over the ages. A lot of the old pagan ideas began to creep in and come back again. A lot of herbal ideas and things of that nature. Often they were still heavily disguised in a Judeo-Christian worldview so that you weren't cut off or burnt at the stake or something. But as the fear of the Inquisition began to become less and less, people became braver and braver and began to recall and reconnect with the world of magic that never really went away during those years. It just became oppressed and suppressed. So
yeah, it's interesting. That's I think that speaks directly to some of the things we're confronting, is that the magic has been so sucked out of our experience that all of these giant structures that we created to kind of hide it or crumble it. And so it kind of brings me to my next question, which is about how do we engage the magic? Is it a simple step thing? Is it a lifetime process? What's your thoughts about, you know, someone who may, you know, especially in this country, you know, very, very religiously driven, monotheistic thought process. There's only one, there's only this, there's only, you know, and what's true is that the solutions that we want to find are not going to exist there. The solutions are going to exist in the magic. The solutions are going to exist outside of the current paradigm. So how do we engage that? Where do we go?
Firstly, it's important to understand that although the people may not remember that there's power in magic and what to do with it, etc., I'm afraid the powers that be know it pretty well and use it pretty effectively. Even your simple sigil magic, which is basically taking what we would now call a logo and putting it everywhere until everybody knows what that logo means and associates that logo with your product. That sigil magic, that idea goes back a very, very long way. So, you know, and more. I mean, you know, there's no doubt that the powers that be know a lot more about magic and how to utilize it than they would allow most people to know about. We, however, have the power to utilize it also, because it is a free power. It is a power that is just kind of out there and that can be utilized by us also. So in the same vein, maybe design your own sigil, for example, and make that sigil compared to your desire, decide what your desire is, turn it into a visual symbol of that desire. And then when you are in a altered state of consciousness of whatever nature, the easiest being the masturbatory or the sexual gnosis that occurs after orgasm, throw that symbol deep into your subconscious, forget about it, and see what manifests.
Wow.
It's just a simple method. Wow. If you want to know more, of course, well, if you would like to know more, of course, our Tantraya Mystery School page on Shopify has got a bunch of stuff about magic now, as we're moving it in that direction. If you want to know about sigil magic, astral projection, how to wake up Kundalini, the body of light, alchemy, fairy magic, all kinds of different things. Check that out.
How did they get to that, Paul?
On tantraya.com is the easiest way. You'll find everything that we do just on there. Tantraya on our Facebook page. Or if you want to go direct to the courses, they're found at tantraya.com at shopify.com or something, I believe. Something like that.
I just put the link up for tantraya.com so people can.
Thank you. That's the easiest. Go find us.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, definitely go find them. There's lots of good stuff there. So my last question that we have time for, and it's not so much a question as it is a clarification. And this topic is so huge, we could go down 20,000 rabbit holes. And that is the idea of there is white magic and black magic. And then I'm thinking, but what's my magic? What's your magic? You know, how do you, and this ties into the question I was asking earlier about whether you focus on the plant kingdom or the fairy kingdom or the mineral kingdom or fire or whatever it is that you, the element that you want to work with, or that you feel most aligned with is where am I going with that? It speaks to the same thing about our magic. So there's something that will be like most things, we get pulled or we get drawn to a particular area of magic potentially because our energy has a certain affinity, or is it all accessible and it doesn't really matter? You know what I mean? I don't know if I asked that question.
It's interesting, actually. I mean, I would say that. No, I understand. I think, look, firstly, hopefully you're guided by good guides. I hope you've got good teachers. You know, whether you have them in person or not, it doesn't necessarily matter. Are you able to listen to, you know, the voice of the above and good advice? Do you follow the right path, which you know what that is, or do you deliberately not follow that path? These are all to give you hints as to what you are going to do with the kind of the magic that you get involved with. You know, actually it goes deeper than this, really. It actually goes very, very deep into the nature of really black magic truly understood is the deification of the ego that wishes to become separate from the divine versus white magic, which is the merging of the ego into the divine and becoming one with the divine. That's really the deepest level. That's the separation. It's got nothing to do with anything other than that. And actually, it needs to be. Obviously, I have my own alignments towards one way, and it's hopefully the right way. But it's up to the people to decide. I really think on the basis of what do they really believe. You know, we've been lied to so much about what religious nature is and what reality really is. We actually have to make the time to try and really decide for ourselves what is true. We have to know that for ourselves. It's not enough to take it on faith, whatever it may be.
So we talked a minute ago about how the powers that be, you know, are using magic, essentially. And so I'm trying to, I want to bring a little awareness to this idea of dark magic versus not dark magic. So the magic is created, what am I trying to get to here? The core of magic in and of itself is divine in that sense. It is the divine active on the planet in a way that we can interact with and dimensionally and all that kind of stuff. Is the idea of dark magic more about the intention with which we use that energy, or is there a thing that's actually dark magic that's separate from the idea of magic? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I do understand. No, I mean, I think, look, the thing is like there is a, let's say there's a ladder or a continuum of consciousness. That kingdom of consciousness goes all the way up and it goes all the way down, and it includes everything. And you ultimately, as the divine, are that. And in that, you have to accept there's demons in you. There's bad things in you too. You know, it's best to get okay with them and try and align them and try and integrate them so that they don't kind of, you know, take you over or become, you know, megalomaniacal or affect you in some way. But the continuum of consciousness is vast. It includes all beings in the end. And it's really, where do you align? What do you do with that power or with those relationships? How do you want to try and move all of that energy? Are you moving it in what you at least hope to perceive to be an evolutionary direction, or do you seek deliberately the devolution of the universe as some dark magicians do? I mean, it's about, you know, your kind of alignment, as it were.
Mm-hmm. So cool. This is we've already blown through the hour, which always happens when we get into conversations, because there's so much good stuff here. I hope that we can continue a version of this somewhere down the line, and I'm so grateful that you were able to carve some time out to join us. Again, if I encourage you heavily to check out Paul's website. He has a ton of incredible offerings, and especially during this time when traveling there to experience plant medicine is not possible, this is a great way to connect to Paul and the magic that he offers, because what he does is extraordinary, and he has amazing classes and ways to help you connect to yourself and connect to the deepest parts of whatever you're looking for. So, Paul, thank you again for being here. Tantraya.com, TANTRAYA.com. That's your portal there, and you can find all kinds of great information about the center and about the work. So please check him out. Thank you guys for being here. Thank you for participating in this great conversation. We wish you the greatest of magic, and may you find your magic and use it for creating some pretty incredible and wonderful things and helping to shape where the things go on our planet. www.adventuresintruth.com. Check out my website and learn more about the show and the book. And thank you guys again for being here. Paul, have an amazing weekend. I'm hoping that sometime in the near future, I'll get to travel down and see you again. It's been on my mind a lot. So be well, my friend. Good to see you. Thank you for being here.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth Podcast. Thank you for joining us. We'd love to connect with you. Please like us on Facebook and subscribe on YouTube. To learn more about Jim's book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love, or to book a session with Jim, you can email us at adventuresintruth@gmail.com, or you can join us on the web at www.adventuresintruth.com. Tune in next time for another great Adventures in Truth podcast.